Please turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and to introduce our lesson, we want to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. As we endeavor to run the Christian race, and we're to do so with patience, we have a great amount of encouragement available to us. First, there's that great cloud of witnesses mentioned in verse 1. That's referring to the great men and women of faith from the Old Testament that we read about in chapter 11. Those people ran their races with patience, and they provide a great amount of encouragement for us. But in addition to receiving encouragement from that great cloud of witnesses, the Bible teaches us to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. And in our lesson, we want to concentrate for a little while on a very important point that is made in verse 2 of Hebrews 12. And that point is Jesus endured the cross. This morning, we presented three reasons from the Scriptures concerning why we should glory in the Lord's cross. That's what the Apostle Paul did in Galatians 6 and verse 14. And of course, the Bible provides many reasons why we should glory in the Lord's cross. But we considered three reasons why we should do so. Now, if we understand properly what Jesus went through in enduring the cross, it will help us to glory in it. So this morning we approach this matter of glorying in the Lord's cross from the standpoint of considering things that Jesus accomplished on the cross. But this evening we want to go just a little bit further, and we actually want to concentrate on what Jesus endured on the cross. Every once in a while, I find someone saying, after going through a difficult experience, I just don't know how much more I can take. Have you ever made that statement? Well, more than likely we all have. At times like that, we need to remember what Jesus went through. He endured the cross. And the writer of Hebrews is teaching us to keep our eyes focused on the Lord and what he went through in enduring the cross, and that will help us avoid becoming weary. It will help us avoid fainting. So, as chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews begins, the statement is made on information presented in chapter 11, the great faith chapter of the Bible, but we're encouraged to run the race that is set before us with patience. As we do so, we're to keep our eyes focused on the Lord, and we're especially concerned with the fact that Jesus endured the cross. It's going to be necessary for us to look at quite a few verses in the gospel accounts. But we have four accounts of the Lord's life on earth, and they complement one another. There are details found in certain scriptures that are not revealed in others. So it's important for us to look at all four gospel accounts to appreciate the fact that Jesus endured the cross. Now, we won't be able to do a thorough examination of everything that took place. We would just simply have to read the gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, we can't do that this evening, but we do want to look at a number of passages that will help us appreciate what Jesus went through in enduring the cross. Well, the first point we need to make is that Jesus endured the cross as he was taken to Golgotha. Let's look at John 19 and read verse 17. John chapter 19 and verse 17. According to this verse, Jesus carried his cross as he began his journey to Golgotha, which was the place of execution. John 19 and verse 17 says, "And he, speaking of Jesus, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." So in enduring his cross, Jesus actually carried it for a time as he was being taken to the place of execution. Now Luke tells us in his gospel that eventually a man named Simon was compelled to carry the Lord's cross. Luke chapter 23 and verse 26. Luke 23 and verse 26 says, "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus." We conclude from the fact that Simon was compelled to carry the Lord's cross that Jesus physically was unable to carry it any further. Now, as he began his journey to the place of execution, he was carrying his own cross. But Simon was compelled to bear the Lord's cross. As I said, the conclusion is Jesus was just physically unable to carry the cross any further. But you need to keep in mind what he had been through. He hadn't had any sleep for quite a while. He had been beaten, abused, scourged. He'd lost a lot of blood, and he was in a weak state physically. So Jesus was enduring his cross as he was taken to the place of execution. Now, according to Luke 23 and verse 33, Golgotha, or the place of a skull, is also called Calvary. So the terms Golgotha and Calvary are referring to the same place. It was the place of execution. Imagine having to make that journey. Well, the Bible teaches in Luke 23 and verse 27 that a great company of people followed the Lord. "And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him." You know, that had to put a strain on the Savior, being accompanied by all these people. Many of them knew him quite well. They were crying. They were weeping. They were sorry for what the Lord was going through. Our Lord had to endure that. Now, this is everything that Jesus had to endure as he was being taken to the place of execution. But when Jesus arrived at Golgotha, he was offered something to drink, and the Bible teaches us that it was wine mingled with myrrh, but he refused it. That point is made in Mark chapter 15 and verse 23. Mark 15 and verse 23 says, "And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not." Now, I think you'll find that there are two different beverages offered unto the Lord. One would have been for the purpose of quenching the thirst. The other was as a sedative. Jesus refused the sedative. He was enduring the cross before he ever was nailed to the cross. Jesus endured much as he was being taken to the place of execution. Well, after arriving at Golgotha, Jesus endured the cross as he was crucified. Mark 15 and verse 25 says, "And it was the third hour, and they crucified him." Please make note of the time. It was the third hour. But Jesus was crucified. He was nailed to the cross. According to verses 27 and 28, he was crucified between two thieves. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." That's interesting. A prophecy was made years earlier in Isaiah chapter 53 that Jesus would make his grave with the rich and with the wicked. We know that a wealthy man named Joseph, he was from Arimathea, he was responsible for taking care of burying the Lord's body. But Jesus also died between two thieves. Now these thieves deserved the treatment that they were receiving, but Jesus did not. Yet he endured what he was going through. And according to John chapter 19, the Lord's accusation was fastened to his cross. John 19, let's begin at verse 19. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not, the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Now this is what Jesus endured as he was crucified. But as we look at this matter further, we see that Jesus endured the cross while he was waiting for his life to come to an end. That was the purpose for crucifixion, was to kill the criminal. It was a form of capital punishment. And people today talk about cruel and unusual punishment. They've never looked at crucifixion. It was a horrible way for the person to die. But Jesus endured the cross not only as he was crucified, but while he was on the cross waiting to die. Since we're in John chapter 19, let's read verses 23 and 24. We will see another Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled. The soldiers who were responsible for the execution parted the Lord's garments. Verses 23 and 24. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Then said they therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did." There would have been four soldiers present to take care of the execution. They would have been entitled to the possessions of the one who was executed. Sometimes we use an expression, "Well, all I have is the shirt on my back," meaning that we don't have any possessions. Well, literally, that's what the Lord had. He had his clothing, and that was it. But the soldiers were entitled to that. Now, they did part the Lord's garments among them, but there was something special about the coat. It was sewn without any seams. The decision was made that they should cast lots to see which soldier should get it rather than tear it into pieces. It must have been a beautiful coat. I wish I could have seen it. So they cast lots for it to see who would get it. That was all prophesied years earlier in Scripture. And John tells us, he said, what happened fulfilled prophecy that was made years earlier. So while Jesus was waiting to die, all of his possessions were before him. The clothes he had on his back. The soldiers cast lots to see who would get the coat. The Lord was mocked. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, let's start at verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. This is a portion of what the Lord endured while he was waiting for his life to come to an end. Now remember our purpose for studying these passages. Hebrews 12 teaches us to keep our eyes focused on the Lord while we endeavor to run the race that is set before us. And specifically, we're told that Jesus endured the cross. We need to keep that in our minds because it will help us to avoid becoming weary and fainting. While the Lord waited to die, he endured the cross further by asking the Father to forgive those who crucified him. Luke 23 and verse 34. Luke 23 and verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. In the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, he taught his followers how to treat enemies. He said, love your enemies. Feed your enemies. Give them something to drink. Pray for them. Now, frankly, that can be a challenge, can't it? But we have the Lord setting the wonderful example for us. He prayed for those who crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, over the years, I've heard a few people say, well, I just can't do that. Well, at least be honest and say, I won't do that. It's within our power to do whatever the Lord tells us to do. If we couldn't do it, then the Lord would not tell us to do it. And we have a wonderful example of Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, he was stoned to death. And if there ever was a godly man, it was Stephen. He was treated very badly. But just before he died, he said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Speaking of those who were stoning him. Stephen followed the Lord's example. Is there any wonder why he looked up into heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father? Someone has suggested that the Lord stood up for his martyr who was losing his life. That's a beautiful thought, isn't it? But the Lord actually set the example when he prayed for his enemies. We mentioned earlier that Jesus was crucified between two thieves. Well, he had an exchange with them, and let's read about that in Luke chapter 23. Let's continue at verse 39. Now, remember, one of the accounts that we read earlier was talking about the people mocking the Lord, and it says the thieves cast the same at him. In other words, they were also railing upon him. But according to what Luke tells us in his gospel, one of them had a change of mind, a change of heart. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That thief received a great blessing. He spoke up for the Lord against the other thief. And he said, "We deserve this treatment, but Jesus has done nothing to deserve this." And he asked the Lord to remember him in his kingdom. And he heard those very precious words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." There's something else that's very touching that Jesus went through as he was enduring the cross while he was waiting to die. He took care of the care of his mother. Let's turn to John chapter 19 and read a few verses beginning at verse 25. You see, Jesus was the oldest child in his family. The oldest son would have had some extra responsibilities. Now, he had four brothers. He also had sisters. We know the names of his brothers. We don't know how many sisters he had, and we don't know their names. But Jesus had a number of brothers and sisters. But being the oldest, he would have been the main one responsible for the care of his parents. We assume by this time that Joseph has passed away. After Jesus began his ministry, his family is mentioned a number of times, but Joseph is never mentioned as being present. So we assume from that he has already passed away. But Mary was still alive, and she was there watching the Lord be crucified while Jesus took care of her care. Verse 25 of John 19. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. I've mentioned the fact many times that quite often John referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. If this doesn't prove that Jesus loved John, I don't know what can possibly prove it. He had the confidence in John that he would take care of his mother. So he committed Mary to John's care. And I want you to notice that John took her into his own home. In other words, he fulfilled the responsibility that Jesus gave to him. Now, these are some things that Jesus went through while he was on the cross. These are some things that he endured. But finally, after about 6 hours, Jesus endured the cross when his life came to an end. Jesus died about the ninth hour. Now, keep your finger right there in John 19 because we'll come right back to it. But for just a moment, let's look at Matthew chapter 27 and read a few verses beginning at verse 46. And about the ninth hour, now can you remember the time that I asked you to remember earlier when the crucifixion began? It was about the third hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias," or Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him the drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Let's go back to John 19 and read verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now all four gospel writers teach that Jesus literally, physically died. He gave up the ghost. That is, his spirit departed from his body. And James, as he's talking about the relationship between faith and works, used as an illustration, as the spirit apart from the body is dead, or as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith without works is dead also. Now, I know that's an illustration, but the point is, when the spirit departs from the body, death occurs. And all four gospel writers affirm that Jesus gave or yielded up the ghost. He literally, physically died. Now, it's important for us to understand that, because there have been some who have claimed that the Lord did not really die. And after he was placed in a cool, damp tomb for a while, his spirit revived and he was able to live once again, implying that the Lord never really died. All four gospel writers make it very clear that Jesus died. Something else happened, though, to make sure that Jesus was dead. Since we're in John chapter 19, let's continue at verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Jesus endured the cross while his life came to an end. I think we've seen from the scriptures that we have read that Jesus endured the cross. But once again, let's keep in mind the point that is being made in the verses we read at the beginning in Hebrews 12. As we endeavor to run the Christian race, we're to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. If we will remember what he went through as he endured the cross, that will help us avoid being weary. It will help us avoid fainting or giving up. But you know, after Jesus endured all of that, he was buried. On the third day, he arose again. The greatest miracle of all time took place. And the writer tells us in Hebrews 12 that after Jesus endured the cross, the Father placed him at his own right hand. Jesus endured the cross, and he was blessed abundantly. And as we endeavor to keep our eyes focused on him, we're able to concentrate on what he went through that we've been talking about this evening, but also remembering that he's at the right hand of the Father. And you keep your eyes focused on the right hand of the Father, you're looking in a good direction. The Bible teaches us to seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. So we're to keep our eyes focused on him. But part of that involves remembering what the Lord went through in enduring the cross. That will help us tremendously. So the next time you think you've taken just about all that you can possibly take, remember what the Lord went through. Years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, And the reason why I said it was because someone shared the same thing with me years before that. I was talking to a friend who pretty much indicated that he had taken in a situation about all he could take. And I asked him, I said, have you ever been nailed to a cross? I didn't have to say anything else. But you see, there was a time years ago when a friend of mine said the same thing to me, and it was very helpful. Well, I've never gone through anything like what the Lord went through. But he ran his race with patience, and he was victorious. We're to keep our eyes focused on him, indicating we can run our races with patience. We can be victorious as well. God, help us to think about these things, and God, help us to glory in the Lord's cross as the Apostle Paul did. If you'd like to respond to the invitation, we'd invite you to do so as stand and sing the song that's been selected.